talk show for kids. That's how Kathy O'Connell describes Kids Corner, her nightly hour-long public radio show. The program is produced in Philadelphia at NPR member station WXPN. But public radio listeners may also remember O'Connell as the co-host of the nationally distributed show Kids America. Like Kids America, Kids Corner is a mix of games, records, and information, as regular contributors and Kathy O'Connell talk with kids in the studio and on the phone. This is how Kathy opened her show 2 days before George Bush became president.
Now, we're taking your advice right now at 898-8868 or 1-800-KIDS-XPN. Advice for the new president. What should he do? He's taking office on Friday. How should he spend the next 4 or maybe the next 8 years? Joining me in the studio will be Lois Hagerty, who is a state representative from the 148th Legislative District. Talk to both of us at 898-8868 or 1-800-KIDS-XPN. Tonight's music challenge is between Bobby McFerrin and Los Lobos, and I have a special guest in the studio with me right now. Emma's here. Hi.
Hi.
Emma's here because her mom is answering telephones here at the Kids' Corner. So what's your research question, Emma?
When Theodore Roosevelt was elected vice president, who was elected president with him?
What number should kids call when they know the answer to your question?
898-88.
When I was a kid, every weekday I'd sit home and I'd watch the Mickey Mouse Club and spend a lot of time envying all the kids who are on the Mickey Mouse Club. What I like about Kids America is that everybody gets to be on it. All you have to do is like pick up the phone and you're on the show. You don't have to envy the kids who are on it.
Oh yeah. Well, that is the beauty of Kids Corner, you know, which grew out of Kids America, is that it's accessible. It's right at your fingertips. The kids can pick up the phone and call. And I was like that about the Mickey Mouse Club, too. One of the things I could never understand was why Annette got all the attention while Darlene was the really talented one. And it was because you could see Annette, and Annette was so pretty. And I think one of the beauties of radio is the anonymity. You can be sitting there with your finger up your nose, or you can be real shy, and nobody's looking at you. Nobody's really studying you. You have a freedom to be free.
It's something I've always enjoyed about being on the radio, too, the act of being invisible.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
not yes. Being judged on how you look. A lot of people say there's no radio for kids. And to that, I'd kind of disagree in the sense that I think top 40 radio serves a function really well. It certainly did for me when I was growing up. But I think you work off of that. You incorporate a lot of rock and roll onto the show and play a lot of hits. And you also play world beat music and oldies and novelty records.
My favorites. Those are my favorites. The novelty records especially. The ones that I listened to when I was a kid. Tom Lehrer, Alan Sherman, Stan Freberg. They all do things that are still valid today. But the fact is, the kids are used to listening to rock and roll radio. And they're used to that power of being able to turn the dial. It's not the story time that was big 40 years ago, because you can't get kids to listen for a half hour or an hour to a story, no matter how beautifully it's produced. Kids want to hear other kids' voices. They want to hear rock and roll music. And I hope they want to hear Stan Freberg, because they're going to on my show.
When I was a kid, I know I really hated being patronized by adults, and I hated a kind of sunshiny personality where no matter what you were feeling, no matter how miserable you were, everything's going to be okay. Did you dislike that when you were a kid? And are you aware of trying to not become that when you're on the air yourself?
When I was a kid, my idol, and to this day, as far as children's programming is concerned, was Soupy Sales.
Oh, yes, I remember
Soupy Sales knew exactly what to say to kids and to make it funny for adults as well. And the fact is, kids see an awful lot. You know, most parents talk to kids as though they're regular, normal people. So when you see someone come along and talk to a kid like this, kids start cringing. And I think you got to keep it funny. You got to keep it hip, because kids want to be cool. That's the most important thing for a kid, is to be cool.
Have you ever had a kid call up on the air and start to cry?
Yes. Yes. We've had, especially around the time that of the Challenger. Because kids saw that. Kids saw the tragedy right there, and they did not know how to handle it. Adults didn't know how to handle that. And television, which has been part of their lives since birth now, kind of betrayed them. I've also had a child call and announce on the air that his father had just died. And this is in the middle of a phone call. in the middle of a call where he was answering a question. He said, oh, by the way, I just wanted to tell you that my father died this weekend.
What did you do?
I said that I was very sorry, that we were all very sorry. And I said, I'm going to put you on hold for just a moment. We're going to go to a song because I want to talk to you off the air. Because it wasn't a time to be on the air. And I think the kids sensed that, the other children who were listening, because we got a lot of calls from other children just saying they were sorry.
You started doing a kid show in New York.
Yes.
On NPR station WNYC.
Yes.
First it was a local show, then it went national.
Mm-hmm.
Kids America became a national show, and then it was on over 20, I think.
About 26 markets.
Right, on public radio stations. Then it lost its funding, and it very suddenly went off the air.
Yeah, very suddenly.
And just about 4 days later, you showed up in Philadelphia at a station called WXPN, hosting the show on a local level.
Yeah.
I heard you that first day that you were on, and I have no idea what you were feeling, but I really wondered what you were feeling, and I was wondering what it felt like to have a national show that was now a local show, to be in a strange city, doing the show with less resources because mm-hmm. it was a smaller station and it was a local program, and knowing that you had to kind of build from scratch and start all over again.
Thank goodness it's live, because I've got to concentrate on the moment. I've got to concentrate on making the moment as good as possible. And then afterwards, I can throw up, because at the time surrounding that first show, I was scared to death. I have to, primarily because it was a new city and it was all on my shoulders. We went from a staff of 9 people, where I was treated like a queen, I gotta tell you, I had it really good there, to a smaller station where, again, I'm treated very well, but it's all me.
You know, a lot of people look nostalgically back at their own childhood and think like, oh, childhood, what a carefree time that was. How do you feel emotionally when you look back at your childhood?
Awful.
Why?
Awful. Childhood is a terrible time. It's not carefree at all. For my personal case, I was a fat kid, and it's terrible being the fat kid in the class. It doesn't matter if you're the smart kid or the talented kid. If you're the fat kid, it's not great. And the same is true if you're the kid with glasses, or if you're the kid with buck teeth, or if you're the stupid kid in the class. Everybody's got something different about them. And when you're a kid, it's magnified 10,000% in your mind. And also, kids are powerless. Kids and old people are the most powerless people in this country. And at least old people, you know, have age on their side. But childhood is not all it's cracked up to be.
Do you think about this a lot when you talk with kids on your show?
Yeah. I think, don't worry, you'll get through it. You grow out of this. Enjoy it while you can, and enjoy what you can from it. But you do grow out of it.
Professionally, you work with children all the time now, long distance via the radio. Are there kids in your life personally?
Yes, I have an adoptive family. My own immediate family is all dead, but I have a wonderful adopted family in California. And in fact, my 10-year-old niece, who is like Kathy Jr., she's a musician and she writes rock and roll songs. She's coming to stay with me for the summer. So that's how I keep in touch with things. And I borrow other people's kids.
Are you one of the people who's so busy working with children professionally that you don't know if you have time to have any as a mother?
I've thought about that, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Maybe it's because I'm so busy working with them that maybe someplace in me there's something saying, no, I have enough to do with children already. Maybe I don't want to bring any more. I'm not sure. I'm really not. But tick, 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 tick. You know, biological clock starts ticking away. You start thinking about that more and more.